Hey, welcome in. Time for the good news from KER. Got Jim McKinney on the line with me right now. You notice I put up a video earlier today that came out of Australia, given by a politician who actually had a guest on his particular interview. They talked about what's going on as a result of the Davos situation. They're talking about how Corona, the virus situation, is really messing up the world in the sense that they feel, this group of folks out of Davos feels that the entire world economically needs a restart, and the catalyst for that restart, they said, ends up being COVID, because the COVID situation is truly not being handled correctly. We do not need lockdowns, according to them. I'd like to know what Jim McKinney thinks first.
Well, I think there's so much information that's coming out now, consistent with what we've been saying on this program for quite a long time.
I have to agree with that.
Yeah, there's tremendous number of there's a tremendous amount of research and data that's coming out that's saying this. These lockdowns are more damaging, significantly more damaging, than the virus itself. Initially, the fear-mongering, the very effective, and what I believe is an effective propaganda effort by the Chinese government to intimidate and fear, instill fear and support by the World Health Organization, and allowing that fear to spread, created conditions that forced governments to take really, really stiff action. The one government that has not fallen for the actual, I would say, the propaganda effort was Sweden. They did not lock everybody down. They were very careful and selective of who they protected, the elderly, as they identified that was the risk category. And they allowed people to go ahead and spread it around. And they've ended up being much more open and less impacted by this disease than most any other major industrialized country. So the article here, the actual video that you posted, raises some pretty important questions on who's actually driving these agendas and why.
Well, I think it's purely simple. I've been dealing with this basically all morning, Jimmy, among other, you know, and as you know, a lot of time I have spent personally before looking at the situation. What we really have right now is we have globalism versus nationalism. Trump is a true nationalist. Joe Biden, on the other hand, is a true globalist. All you have to do is look at his relationship with the Chinese. Look what he has done for his son, Hunter. All of a sudden made the kid a billionaire, primarily from favors coming out of the, I would say, Near East, and certainly the Far East in view of China. So I think the decision is clearly not, do you want Trump or do you want Biden? Clearly the decision is, do you want nationalism or globalism? I think beating the globalists is a very, very daunting task. Let's talk about that first, Jimmy.
I agree with you. Beating the globalist is incredibly challenging because they believe that they've got the resources and the influence to shape the minds of people like Plato. They have done a tremendous disservice to a republic or democracies by undermining faith and confidence in those democracies on how they've handled this. And they've used incredible influence through media complexes, through these global corporate, you know, partnerships between, you know, ABC, Disney, and NBC, Comcast, and all these, and, you know, Google, and their control of information flow, as well as Facebook and their control of the voice. These companies and these big global corporations are the most capitalized companies in history, and they are buying influence, and they believe strongly that they can shape people's minds, and they are doing it. They're throwing the money behind Joe Biden. They're throwing the money. They're buying off Kamala Harris. There's a great set of pictures out from the decision panel on the Biden vice presidential selection team. Alexander Soros is on that group selecting Kamala Harris. I believe it's because they know they can buy her. And I know that they're supporting, these powerful people are supporting Joe Biden because they know he's going to do whatever they say. They've got the influence, they've got control of the Democratic Party, and they've got control of the media outlets. And they're attempting very, very, very effectively to shape people's minds.
I think if you want to
And
call,
it's sad.
yeah, I think Jimmy, if you want to call a spade, I think that basically this thing has been very well thought out. And I think it's been in process way before 2016. It's incredibly well thought out. The foe, if you want to use that term, let's say globalism, if you want to use that term, is truly, truly, I think. And most of our listeners seem to agree, going to win out in the bitter end. I know how you feel about it. You know how I feel about it. What chance do you get? Let's forget about Biden. Let's forget about Harris. Let's talk about this election as being globalism versus nationalism. What odds do you give? And you may not even want to opine on that, but I know you pretty well, and I know you're a pretty bright guy, Jimmy. What odds do you give the globalists to succeed here?
In the end, I think there's going to be backlash. There already is beginning to be backlash. You cannot have the type of control that they believe they have without people pushing back. Every authoritarian leader in history, every monarch, everyone at some point has had pushback. And I'm going to go one step further than globalists, and I'm going to pin this on, I'm going to pin it on the Chinese Communist Party and their influence, because these globalist corporations want that market. They're willing to sacrifice. It's proven over and over again. The NBA, Google, Facebook, they're willing to sacrifice their algorithms, their data, basic free speech rights in order to get into the Chinese market and appease the Chinese Communist Party. That's where they see massive potential profits, and they believe they can buy their way in to control and that they'll be safe. The biggest mistake these global corporations will ever make is doing that, because in the end, those authoritarian rulers will control them as well. But I believe that there will be pushback, very much like the Soviet Union collapsed. The Chinese system cannot survive, and the corporations that are attempting to shape the world right now, the elite leadership of the world, the globalist views, I just don't believe they can survive as long as we have some method to speak back against them. And right now, the mainstream media is not trusted, and there's a lot of opportunity through many other sources to get information. And until they close that down and actually start, herding people into camps, which is they're doing in China. Until they do that in the Western world, we still have an opportunity to take it back. So do I don't think it's a 50-50 loss. I think that inevitability of freedom will ring in the end.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. I have to say that the direction that I'm kind of going in right now, and this may sound selfish, and this has nothing to do with where my vote is going to go, but the situation right now, from a societal standpoint, and also from some other standpoints a bit closer to me than simply society, is getting to be almost unbearable. And what I'm looking to do is provide the best possible environment that I possibly can have in order to end up, in order to finish this particular book in somewhat a state of happiness. And I don't know if that's going to be possible. On the one hand, if you want to be a real alarmist, I believe you're right about China being the enemy. And if you, I understand if you want to be a real alarmist, then one would start talking about physical invasion. They start talking about prison camps. They'd start talking about a situation similar to what happened in Russia in 1917 that fortunately my parents escaped from by hook or by crook. And I think the one thing that we have missing right now in terms of leadership is if you look at Putin and if you look at Trump, nobody at this point in time is messing with Putin, and they are pulling all the strings they can vis-a-vis Trump. They have done a very effective job diminishing this man. And I have to say, I do believe that he had the best interest of his country at heart. I think that the opposition, whether you talk about Harris or whether you talk about Biden, I think they are truly in it to win it for themselves. And that's just my opinion, Jim. That is, and I think that's a valid point.
Well, I disagree that Putin is the one that is manipulating Trump. I believe
No,
that
I'm not saying Putin's the one.
the
That's not what I said. Let me be perfectly clear. Nobody is messing with Putin. The rest of the world is not messing with him. Quite frankly, he's a little too cagey to allow that to happen.
Well, I think you're actually there's some very strong factual evidence that Putin is under pressure. One is the low oil prices and the productivity in the Middle East that is continuing with support of the United States and the Saudis to keep flow into Europe, and of course, U.S. energy independence. The Russian economy is primarily based on oil and energy, and they're losing money significantly. That's a kleptocracy. The second issue is in areas like Ukraine and some of these expansion in Syria where they've been operating. And they're actually having a very difficult time sustaining those operations. And the Trump administration has put sanctions and pushed back on them. The third is their potential big problem with NATO because they've used NATO as their excuse to build up their military capacity. Well, what the Trump administration has done is forced NATO members to contribute a significant amount of increased funding for defense and strengthening NATO. That's putting tremendous pressure on them while simultaneously looking at opportunities to reduce. And they are in negotiations with the Russians on nuclear reductions, and people don't talk about that at all, but that's happening. Those are areas that people don't see that are happening right now that really put pressure on Putin and potentially could make us better, closer allies. The problem has been the US political apparatus and DOJ, FBI, in these false allegations through Senate committees, and even some Republicans that the Trump administration was, collaborating with Russia. And that has put a tremendous amount of pressure on the administration. The next 4 years, if you see a Trump reelection, you're going to see much more progress and I think more pressure, but potentially a change.
I really have some questions about that particular outcome. Jimmy, I'd like to, I know we're going to get a lot of comments on the video that I put up. I would like to have chapter two of this discussion at your convenience later this afternoon. Tell me when that would be. I'll totally adhere to your schedule. What do you think? 5 o'clock?
It's a possibility after the meeting at 3. Sounds good.
Thanks, Jimmy. What do you guys think out
All
there?
right.
We're counting on the audience right now for feedback.